So in honor of the fact that this is a scholar-in-residence weekend, I thought I would start with a classical Jewish source, Mel Brooks. If you don't know the 2013-year-old man, which is a series started with the 2000-year-old man that Mel Brooks has done with Carl Reiner, you're missing one of the great comedy bits of our age. And there is one small slice of it where Mel Brooks, who's supposed to be thousands of years old, tells Carl Reiner, who's interviewing him, that all words start onomatopoetically. That is, they sound like what they are. So Mel Brooks says, what about an egg? And he says, well, if you listen to a chicken very carefully, as it produces the egg, it goes, egg. She says, what about a shower? He goes, well, it goes, shh. And he says, yeah, but that's not shower. He goes, well, they added the hot water. Ow. And then you've got chow, chow. And then Reiner says to him, what about a nose? Why do you call a nose? And Brooks says, what are you going to blow, your eyes? The point being that some questions are so obvious that you actually don't need answers to them. The philosopher Whitehead said that. He said it takes a very unusual mind to undertake analysis of the obvious. Things that are puzzling, we can all ask, but things that are obvious, we don't generally ask. And I bring this up because I read an article the other day about physicists asking a question that it never, ever would have occurred to me to ask, which is, why does time go forward? And apparently, they really worry about this. And they've come up with all sorts of answers. But nobody knows. And it's so obvious that time goes forward that we don't even ask ourselves that question. In literature, there are examples. Merlin in the Legends of King Arthur. Remember, he gets younger and younger. And we joke about that, but the truth is that even though in science fiction time reverses, we never really ask ourselves why time goes forward. But it's very helpful to keep that question in mind to answer a question about this morning's parsha. Because I think that we look at the time involved in the wrong way. The question that we usually ask about this morning's parsha, and not only this morning's parsha, but we generalize it to the Torah and to our lives, is given that Jacob lied and cheated, why does he deserve to get the blessing? In fact, the question almost answers itself. He doesn't deserve it. He goes to his old blind father. And remember, the answer that some would give, which is that Esau really sold it to him, right? He said, I'm starving, I'm hungry, and he spurns the birthright, and there's a whole series of verbs in Hebrew that show, today the rabbis, that Esau was precipitous and unthoughtful and didn't deserve it. But if that's true, why does Jacob have to cheat his father? It's his father's to give. Why doesn't he just come with Esau and say, look, he sold it to me, so give me the birthright. Obviously, he doesn't feel like he entirely has a legitimate claim that would convince the person who sort of owns the birthright, that is Yitzchak. And so he's got to cheat him with, as Professor Halbertal said, the careful direction of his mother. And you feel like he doesn't deserve it. And that question plagues us with a lot of biblical heroes. Why does God come to Abraham? So the rabbis say, you know, because he broke his father's idols. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah has nothing about breaking your father's idols. Not only that, but there's some indication even that Terach was a lot better than we usually think of. Because he dies in Haran, that is already along the way to Eretz Canaan, as though Terach started the journey, not Abraham. So why does Abraham deserve to be the person God chooses? The answer is we don't know. What about Moshe? Yeah, we know Moshe broke up a few fights. He was nice to Tzipora and her family. But he doesn't do anything great, such that God should come to him and say, okay, you're elected. We wouldn't work that way. If you had a business to run and someone came to you and said, I haven't done anything, appoint me. You'd say, no, the whole point of deserving something, of getting a blessing, is you have to earn it. And yet, again and again, not only do people not earn it, but in Jacob's case, they actively don't earn it. They steal it. And that's a problem. But by now, you may have forgotten how I started, which is that we look at time in the wrong direction. Because what I want to propose to you is that most of the time, not always, but most of the time, the question of whether you deserve a blessing doesn't actually get answered before you get the blessing. It's supposed to be answered after you get the blessing. Are you a good parent? That gets answered after you have a child, not before. Did Moshe deserve to be the leader of the Jewish people? We didn't know that until Moshe became the leader of the Jewish people. It is, as the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning puts it in another context, a gauntlet with a gift in it. That is, God says, I'm giving you a blessing. Now let's see if you deserve the blessing that you got. Instead of it being a reward, it's a challenge. And so Yaakov gets the blessing not because of what he did, because he hasn't done anything, but because of what he has the possibility of doing. And then he will either earn it and become Yisrael, or he won't. This is a different way of looking at what we have. That is, we are all extravagantly blessed. And we generally assume that we're blessed because we deserve it, but maybe we're blessed so that we can see if we deserve what we got. That God judges people by potential. The same way that teachers do. I can't tell you how often I was in the principal's office in yeshiva when I was a kid, and they would say, David, you have such potential. Why don't you ever pay attention? But that is the point. When a father gives a child, for example, the business that they're going to run, it's because they see potential in this one. Moshe doesn't see potential in his own children to lead the people of Israel, so he chooses Yehoshua. What has Yehoshua done by then? Yes, he was the spy who saw the land was good, but has he proved himself in warfare? Has he been a leader of the people? No, but Moshe knows you have to give a blessing and hope it can be fulfilled. So there's a very powerful lesson in this for us. All of us have lots of blessings in our lives, many of which have been just given. We haven't earned them. Doesn't mean we don't deserve them, but we haven't done anything yet to deserve them. And the question and the test of life is not how good were you so you got stuff, but having got stuff, how good will you be? Yaakov teaches us. He struggles with the angel. He reconciles with his brother. He creates a family and eventually a people. And I think at the end of his life, when he blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, you can imagine God looking on and saying, that's why I gave you the blessing. That's why I let you steal it, because I knew you would be able to realize the potential that you had from the beginning. So, all of us fortunate people, let's ask ourselves the Yaakov question. Not why are we so lucky, but what will we do to prove that God was right when God gave us the great good fortune that we share? What will we do to prove that it was a wise blessing? Shabbat Shalom.